About to bring on Cody Goodwin. He is wrestling and high school sports reporter with the Des Moines Register. He is at Cody Goodwin. Cody, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a little worn out. Pretty busy weekend of wrestling, but hey, the month's only getting started. It's going to be a really fun few weeks we got coming up here.
Oh, it is. And let's jump right in here let's talk about Big 12 first. And I always, after every time we've gone through this, I always ask you, did Iowa State and you and I meet expectations or exceed expectations? So let's start there.
Yeah, I think it's probably a mixed bag. It was a really weird Big 12 tournament. I think Iowa State had some guys do pretty well, and then they had some other guys maybe wrestle a little underwhelming. Iowa State ended up finishing. They both finished top five in the team race, which I figured they were both capable of. Iowa State ended up third. You and I ended up climbing into fifth real late in the tournament, which was pretty nice for them. Iowa State was probably more in the thick of the team race. They ended up finishing behind Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, who finished tied for first. So they scored 124 points combined. Both of those teams, and then Iowa State had 117.5, and that's with a handful of guys probably wrestling or putting forth underwhelming performances a little bit. But it also with guys, Zach Redding, for example, true freshman at 133, he finished third at a really, really tough weight. That was really impressive. I don't know that they were expecting him to wrestle that well. Marcus Coleman from Ames, he was the seeded sixth, then he finished fourth, and scored a lot of big bonus points for the Cyclones. So, I'm not sure that they were. I think they were expecting him to maybe wrestle above his seed, but not as well as he did. If that makes sense. So, kind of a mixed bag there for the Cyclones. But overall, they got six guys qualified for the NCAA championships, and third place in the team race. While it didn't quite look how they thought it would, they were in the thick of it for a Big 12 tournament team title, and that was. That was kind of the expectation going in. For you and I, they finished top five, which I kind of figured they had the capability of doing that, but they a little bit more underwhelming, I would think. A couple of guys got hurt. Lance Runyon, who's from Southeast Polk, he was their starting 74-pounder. I really liked his spot in the bracket to potentially get to the finals, but, he ended up having an injury. So he only got to wrestle one match, and it wasn't even the full match. And so he ended up going 0-2. Heavyweight Carter Isley was the 2 seed. He ended up losing pretty early, and I think he ended up coming back to finish fifth. A little bit underwhelming performance there. They had a couple other guys who had done pretty well in past years at this tournament not do well. But then they also had, Brody Teske, who's from Fort Dodge. He's the 1 seed at 125. He ended up winning the whole thing. Parker Kekai's in, a redshirt freshman from Wisconsin, who's now the starter at 184. He was the 1 seed. He won the whole thing, so it was really good to see both of those guys wrestle really well. It was a four-way kind of race for the team race, for the top of the team race, I guess, between Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, and Wyoming, who had a really, really strong showing. And so you and I was in a pretty distant fifth place. So finishing in the top five, I figured they were capable of. How they got there, maybe not exactly how I would have guessed they would have gotten there. I kind of a mixed bag when you're talking expectations. I think they both did what we thought they would do, but the route they took to get there was a little weird. I mentioned Iowa State took 6 to the NCAA championships. You and I qualified 4. We'll find out later this week if those guys get any more to the big dance. I think both of them have cases to perhaps get a few more wrestlers, so we could be looking at quite a few from both quite a few wrestlers from Iowa from the Big 12 Conference going to St. Louis here in a couple weeks.
Once again, we're talking to Cody Goodwin. He's at Cody Goodwin. He's the wrestling and high school sports reporter with the Des Moines Register. So 4 champions total, 2 for you and I and 2 for our Iowa State. Heavyweight and Carr. Carr won 2, right?
Yeah, David Carr, his second straight at 157. He looked really, really good. And then Gannon Gremmel at heavyweight from Hempstead High School. He was in the finals last year, and he actually beat the guy that beat him last year, Wyoming's Brian Andrews. So that was pretty good. to see them both go out on top. They got a champ in the middle, and then they got a champ at the end of the tournament. So then they had a third finalist, Ian Parker, at 141, who was the defending Big 12 champ, but he ended up losing to a pretty tough kid in Oklahoma's Dom Demas. So three finalists total for the Cyclones, which was pretty good. I figured they could stick a few into Sunday night, and they did just that.
Now let's hop over to the Big Ten Championship. Nice to see Iowa put another one up there. A pretty good team effort. And, you know, once again, Spencer Lee just being another worldly person on how he's wrestling right now.
Oh, man, not just Spencer Lee. This was an incredible team effort, Steen.
Oh, yeah.
they scored 159.5 points, which... you know, it doesn't really sniff any sort of all-time record or anything, but they won the dang thing by 35.5 points. That's the largest margin of victory for an Iowa wrestling team at the Big Ten Championship since 2010, when they won by 37.5 points. And we all know what happened at the NCAA Championships in 2010. They won that year. So they were incredible from a team perspective. They took all 10 guys competed. 9 of the 10 guys were... finished on the podium, and all 9 of them finished in the top 4. I mean, it was, collectively, they went 28-8. They had 4 champs. They had 2 more finalists, had 2 more guys take 3rd, another guy take 4th. It was a strong team performance. Last time they had 4 individual champs at the Big Ten tournament was 2001. So that would have been Jody Strittmatter, Eric Juergens, TJ Williams, and Doug Schwab. This year, it was, like you mentioned, Spencer Lee just kind of doing what he did. Jaden Ironman was able to win a title as the one seed at 141, which probably secured the one seed for the NCAA championships in a couple weeks. And then Alex Marinelli and Michael Kemmer both won at 65 and 74 as well. I mean, they lapped the field and then some. This was a tremendous Big Ten tournament performance from Iowa, and even more impressive when you consider that they didn't really wrestle for 27 days. Beforehand, because they had their COVID pause, and they came out and it didn't. We could get into the nitty gritty. I know we don't have that much time, but that by and large they were very, very impressive out at Penn State this weekend. It was a tremendous performance.
Yeah, and kudos to Tom Brands and his coaching staff, and once again, Cody, it's amazing to me that we're even having these conversations with what everybody was thinking was going to happen, and the fact that this is all going on. And, under the same protocol that every other sport has, but this sport being as difficult as it is to try to fit into that protocol and getting all this done is just amazing. So what to look forward to when the NCAAs start in, do they start next week or do they start in 2 weeks?
They'll start, I guess 2 weeks technically, about 10 or 11 days. It starts March 18th, so not this Thursday, but the next Thursday down in St. Louis, and it'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, so when you're looking, Iowa has to be going in as a favorite, and Iowa State and UNI with who they get to go, and that would be a big thing for them if they get some extra wrestlers to go with them. Is there anybody right now looking, is Oklahoma State, are they in Iowa's same kind of with Iowa and Minnesota, or a little bit different off? I'm not positive about that one.
No, if Iowa wrestles exactly like they did this weekend, there is nobody in the country who's going to hang with them in St. Louis. I'm pretty confident in that. If they slip up, then you're probably looking at teams like, I think Oklahoma State has quite a bit of firepower at the NCAA championship level, that maybe they're kind of in that next tier. I think Penn State might be able to apply a little bit of pressure. Be really curious to see how Nebraska looks. There's a handful of teams in the ACC like NC State and Virginia Tech who, how do those guys collectively compare on the national level? Arizona State won the Pac-12. How are those guys going to compare? It's going to be a really interesting national tournament to just, if Iowa wins the Big Ten by as much as they did, obviously they're going to be pegged as the favorite. I'm not sure anybody has the firepower or the horses to run them down by themselves. I don't know if there's another team that's really going to challenge them, wrestler for wrestler, pound for pound. But, if Iowa slips up, then it's, how much do they slip up? Because you got to remember, too, You know, they put 9 of 10 on the podium, and the one guy who didn't wrestle very well this weekend, Max Murin, he went 0-2. So they won the Big Ten tournament by 35.5 points with only 9 wrestlers scoring points.
Wow.
So I'm not sure that is going to, you know, I'm pretty confident that Max Murin will probably win a handful of matches at the NCAA championships. He may have really screwed up his seeding by going 0-2. We'll find out more about that later this week. But, it's going to take, Iowa's going to have to trip up, pretty handily for some of these other teams to really kind of, put forth enough effort or at least to bring Iowa back down to their level, if that makes sense. I think they're just that much better when they wrestle the way that they know how to wrestle. And, they're going to be set up pretty well after winning Big Tens. I mean, a lot of their guys are going to probably have favorable draws at the NCAA championships just based on seeding. So this is very, very much Iowa's tournament to lose here in a couple weeks.
Once again, we're talking to Cody Goodwin, wrestling and high school sports reporter with Des Moines Register. He is at Cody Goodwin. How big an upset was it with Grandview losing in the championship?
So, it was pretty big. Grandview, for those that I know kind of loosely follow what they've been doing, they had won 9 straight NAIA national team championships going into this season. And, that ties Iowa's, Dan Gable's Hawkeyes for the most consecutive national wrestling championships in college wrestling history, regardless of division. And, they were the pretty strong favorites to go win number 10, which nobody has ever done. It didn't happen for them. You know, they wrestled not a phenomenal tournament. They were dealing with a handful of injuries here and there. They had some wrestlers get upset. They had a lot of wrestlers have to come through the backside and score some points. They only put 2 wrestlers in the finals, and neither of them ended up winning titles. I can't remember the last time Grandview didn't have a national champ, because as far as I know, that they had one at least each of the last 9 years. At the same time, Life U from Georgia was the team that ended up beating them this year. Life U put up 158 team points. Grandview put up 153. You know, that's a program that's been building for quite a few years. And I think people who really follow Grandview would know that, Life U's head coach is Omi Acosta, who was a Grandview wrestler. He was a national champ for Grandview, and he was a national champ during 2012 when Grandview won its first of what became 9 straight. So pretty cool thing there for Life U from Georgia their head coach was kind of one of the guys that helped start Grandview's streak, and now he's the head coach of the team that ended the streak. Life U really, really wrestled well. They wrestled, I think, way far and above beyond their expectations. And then when you combine that with, not a great tournament from Grandview, Grandview had all 12 wrestlers at the NAIA tournament. All of them were seeded 4th or better. And I think when the tournament was done, they only had 4 guys that placed 4th or better. So it was not the best tournament from the Vikings. It was definitely their tournament to lose. And, them not wrestling very well combined with Life U wrestling very, very well. That's what happens, man. That's why they wrestle the matches. That's why, these tournaments can be so fun and thrilling sometimes. And, even though they didn't wrestle their best, they still, they had a chance to win it all the way down to Sunday night at the very end of the tournament. It was a tremendous team race between both of those programs. And kudos, because we usually don't get that a lot. And I was really glad that we were able to get, something like that on a national scale. People who normally don't pay attention to NAIA wrestling were paying attention to NAIA wrestling this past weekend. And, if you're a wrestling fan, that's got to have you tickled pretty fun, because you want more eyes on some of these national tournaments than what you normally get. And, hey, kudos to Life U. Their performance made that happen.
And that's the great thing. And people don't realize how big of a gem having Grandview here and being as good as they are in almost all of their sports, and bringing that kind of recognition to Des Moines, which is pretty exciting. So you've gotten through, high school. You have this left. Do you have to go down and do some boys basketball?
I think I'll be down at the Well a little bit this week, just kind of pinch hitting. Our guy, Matthew Bain, is kind of the point person for us down there. And, I don't know. It's a little bit of a longer beast. It goes all week as opposed to wrestling really only goes 4 days. So I can usually just kind of take wrestling by myself. He'll need a little bit of help. So I'm sure I'll be down there sometime, if not tomorrow, maybe Wednesday morning or something like that. So I actually need to check my schedule, because I just came back from Penn State. So I'm still trying to regather myself before we really get into the meat of the week.
Which is an awesome thing that you stepped in today. Here's a quick question. I had this for you, and I've been dying to ask you. So you watch all these sports, and when we talk about 1A, 2A, 3A in basketball or football or wrestling, is wrestling a type of sport that if you were a 1A school that you can compete with a 3A school in wrestling? You know, basketball, you have I've been watching highlights of I watched Martindale St. Mary's today. They played really well. Then I'm watching Grandview Christian. They have a 7-foot kid that looks pretty amazing. Is there any one of the sports that you kind of watch and look through that 1A schools are able to compete with some of the bigger schools?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, almost all of them except football, and that's going to sound really, you know, I that probably sounds bad, but like, you know, I think of, you know, Class A or Class 1A football
numbers,
and, you know, line them up against the Ankeny team that won Class 4A this year. Like, I think the talent disparity is just a little crazy, and that's, you know, football, it's also a product of football being the ultimate team game. But, you know, basketball, I mean, we've seen, you know, that's why they have Cinderella stories in March Madness, right? You've got,
absolutely,
you know, these, you know, like a team from the Valley, for example, could, you know, go with, you know, they get a chance to play the game for 40 minutes against the Dukes and the North Carolinas, and whoever made the most buckets at the end of it gets to move along. You know, I'm a Mizzou fan, so I remember Norfolk State knocking off the Tigers when they were a 2 seed a few years ago. It's more than just a few years ago. It's closer to a decade ago now, but like that's why they play those games, right? It's, you know, they're able to do that. We see it in wrestling. You know, Southeast Polk and Don Bosco got to wrestle a duel this year, and, you know, Southeast Polk needed to pull a handful of wins out, you know, to really kind of come from behind to win that duel in order to beat Don Bosco. And that's, you know, Don Bosco is a very, very good 1A program. Southeast Polk's a very, very good 3A program, and only 1 point separated them on that night. So it's cool to see that in wrestling. It's cool to see that in, you know, in basketball. It's cool to see it in some of these other sports like volleyball. I know Dyke New Hartford is normally a smaller school, and they've had a tremendous program, you know, over the last few years. I don't know how it would stack up to some of the great Ankeny teams or great Cedar Falls teams that we've seen in recent years, but, you know, kind of all depends on coaching and whatnot, and some of these other sports, there's a way for these small schools to compete, and that's really fun to see.
All right, Cody, as always, man, that's why I love having you on. You're the best. Talk to you later.
Thanks for having me, Cody.
You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. B Styles coming in. We're talking some Chicago sports.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. You can always go to the website and listen live to the program. If the person sitting in this chair makes sure that the switch is on KBGG, and I apologize for that for the first 40 minutes of the show, but we are back and better than ever. If you want to sports a gambling or betting in the state of Iowa, use BetMGM, download the app, put some skin in the game, make some picks, and enjoy if you're going to bet sports in Iowa, BetMGM. And if you're going to check out a bank, please check out Northwest Bank. Northwest Bank's just won top workplace for the 6th year in a row. So not only are they a great bank, they're also a great place to work. They have 2 locations in Ankeny, 1 in West Des Moines. Member FDIC. My next guest, we had to the Drake U and I game, took preference over my show on Friday, but he hopped on today. B Styles, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. And, you know, I'll just say quickly, since you brought that up, it's really unfortunate that that's how U and I season ended, especially when you consider they played the night before and everything seemed to be fine. And then they get told that, oh, they have a positive test, so they can't play. And to have a season end like that's unfortunate. And it also is unfortunate for Drake because it cost him a win.
Right.
That they may or may not need right now. And I'll just say this real quickly regarding Drake. The Bulldogs are 25-4 in a year where there's been a pandemic and there's teams that haven't even gotten to 20 games. They've won 25 of them. If they're not an NCAA tournament team, then what are we doing here?
Right, and have lost two of their best players with injury. So, you know,
go ahead and put them in the first four if you have to. But to me, they absolutely belong. They managed to navigate through the season they had, and they won 25 games.
I mean, there's some big teams out there that they do not want to face these guys in the first round. So, I totally agree. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about. I watched the All-Star game last night. I watched it with my son. And he had a whole different perspective than I did. He thought the whole evening was, you know, kind of perfect. And that was my older one. Middle one's going to come on later in the week and kind of give his opinion. I thought the three-point contest was the gem of the whole weekend. I could do without the dunk contest. I can do without skills. And then the way they played the game, I don't even know if I have a problem with the way they played the game. I think I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I was too, and I'll just say this. I would agree with regarding the three-point contest. I think they ended up finding something pretty, you know, good in terms of having it all on one night as opposed to making a weekend out of it. I would say, though, the fact that they put the dunk contest at halftime, I think that tells you just how far that's gone.
Yeah.
Not in a good way, but, you know, to have something like a three-point contest right beforehand, I think that you know, obviously it was going to energize the crowd before the game even starts. And then, you know, to have the Elam ending, I think for something like this, I think it's a good thing to have that. And, you know, to see somebody like Dame be able to hit a shot pretty much from midcourt to end the game. You know, that's a pretty cool way to cap a fun night.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought the really funny thing is that the only thing that the dunk contest did, and not that the three participants didn't have good dunks or whatever, was that it gave time for people to make fun of the old people, old NBA players and how they were scoring. So, I mean, that didn't do any of those guys. Yep. And that's some of my favorite basketball players. And they probably got hit harder than anybody over the weekend.
Well, and the other thing, too, is when you have the dunk contest at halftime, those are the kinds of players that you're going to have participating in it, because you're not going to have somebody who's an actual all-star risk getting injured at halftime of an all-star game.
Yeah, and
you know, like that.
We have Brendan Stiles on. He is at the B Stiles. And I think as much as we've seen the NBA over the last, say, 3 or 4 years, you really see a change in how it's played, because people were more excited about Dame and Steph Curry shooting threes from where they were than when people would come down and dunk the basketball, which is not the way it used to be, say, 5 years ago.
No, absolutely. I think part of that is, like you said, it's just how the game has evolved around three-point shooting. You know, and yeah, you still have the highlight dunks and everything, and you're encouraged to do that if you can get in the lane. But I think it's kind of like watching a home run, you know, and you could see, okay, can they shoot it from even further? Can they shoot it from even further? You know, and I think it's got a similar feel in that regard.
Yeah, I do. And it was, I enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it. And I really did. And you could see, you know, even for like LeBron to come out and say, hey, it's the first time I've ever got to play with Steph Curry. And oh, yeah, that would be really fun to be able just to drive and kick and have people shoot shots like that every day. But you had some people, too. You had Bradley Beal played really well. I think he has a good chance of getting traded. You have some teams, you know, the 76ers need some help. You know, the Chicago Bulls, I don't know what, you know, they have in reserve. They could use some help. You know, just for, I thought Zach LaVine had a good weekend. I thought he looked like he belonged, and I think that's a good thing for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll just say real quickly regarding them that these next couple weeks are going to be really telling, because it's going to be an indicator of, okay, are they going to try to gun for a playoff spot, or are they going to be willing to, you know, trade away some guys and look more toward the future as opposed to right now?
As a fan, what are you hoping they do?
I mean, I think it could honestly be something where the bottom of the East is bad enough that even if they did trade somebody like a Thad Young, that they could still conceivably finish 10th and be a part of that tournament. Now, obviously, you want to avoid that if you can, but I mean, the way it's set up, it's almost like they still have a shot at the playoffs regardless, and you would kind of be getting the best of both worlds.
Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He is at the B Stiles for the University of Iowa and the past, say, 10 days. They couldn't have ended any better except for Wieskamp hurting his ankle, which hopefully isn't that bad. I asked Sean Bach earlier, and I'm going to ask you too. If you had the choice, you know, maybe winning a couple of games in the Big Ten tournament, but maybe getting knocked out and getting healthy, or do you want to press and you want to win the Big Ten just to have that kind of momentum going into the NCAA and maybe not having as fresh as C.J. Frederick or Joe Wieskamp? Which would you
want? I'll tell you what I'd like to see. I'd like to see them win Friday night and kind of get that monkey off of their back, if you will.
Right.
At the very least, have an opportunity to play Illinois on Saturday for a shot maybe at a one seed. You know, I think as things are right now, they're probably locked into a two regardless. But just to have that opportunity, especially because you didn't get to play Illinois at home. And that's what I would just say real quickly about this season is you consider that they won 20 games in a year where you're dealing with a pandemic. They finished alone in third place. The two teams that finished ahead of them, neither of them came to Carver. Iowa had to play both of them on the road this year. And they have a chance of possibly playing both of them this week in Indianapolis. I don't know what more you could have asked for just in terms of the regular season. Now, I think winning at least on Friday and getting to Saturday would be big for Fran McCaffrey. It just, you know, not that they need it to lock up a TC, but it would leave no doubt at that point. And then from there, again, I would say just trying to get to the Sweet 16 at the very least. And then anything beyond that, I mean, you have to look at and say, yeah, this year's been a success.
Yeah, you get to Saturday. I think that totally takes away the Fran fade. No more talking about it. And people aren't allowed to talk about it anymore. You just got to let it go. And I think that, you know, down the stretch, and Luka played well, all these guys played well, the bench, the Murray boys, and all this with everything going on, I mean, they gave it gave Iowa a whole different level on the defensive end, and I don't think Wisconsin knew what hit them. I think
if we're being honest, they wouldn't have won that game even a year ago.
No,
I think like that tells you the toughness that this team has right now. And I think that's definitely a good thing to be carrying into not just this Big Ten tournament this week, but into next week with the NCAA tournament, especially when you consider where they're likely going to end up. They're going to probably end up in a region with Baylor, possibly end up, you know, playing a team like Arkansas in the Sweet 16, because if they're in Baylor's region, this is a point that I saw somebody make earlier today. If they're in Baylor's region, then your three seed's not going to be from the Big 12.
Right.
So it would probably be a team like an Arkansas, and you know Eric Musselman is going to want to push up and down the floor kind of like Fran does. So that, to me, it kind of gets them prepared for all different styles, and I feel like they can take on all comers. Now, I don't necessarily think they're going to win the Big Ten tournament this week, but again, if they could at least put themselves in a position where they take care of business Friday night and they at least set up that rematch with Illinois, you know, that could potentially be for something.
I totally agree with that. And you know, I think that's a game people want to see. And, you know, I rematches that way all the way through. And I think people want to see him. And I also
they didn't have C.J. Frederick when they went to Champaign back in January.
Right.
So you play that game, let's say, with him. And then if Wieskamp can play, you're at full strength this time around and on a neutral floor.
Yeah, and that's a big if, and we're all hoping and praying. A little bit like the Chicago Bears right now are hoping and praying that the Seattle Seahawks. So, what a perfect day for you. The Seattle Seahawks send out their newsletter for season ticket holders, and not one mention in it of Russell Wilson at all. They talked about everybody else on the team but him.
So you have this, and then you have the Dallas Cowboys putting their promo video out without Dak.
Yes.
Like, What are these teams doing?
I mean, seriously, I used to have to go sit in the corner in grade school when you did dumb stuff like that. And these are professionally run organizations doing it.
Steve, can you imagine if Green Bay put out something that didn't make any mention of Aaron Rodgers, or if Kansas City put out something that didn't make any mention of Patrick Mahomes?
No, I mean, look at how much Aaron Rodgers was mad just because you drafted a quarterback.
I know.
I mean, that almost ruined their season, or to at least the start of their season. So, yeah, if it's one of those things, and I heard something really interesting today, and it's like, is Chicago doing this because Ryan Pace wants to save his job, and you know, coach wants to save his job? I'm like, if you can get Russell Wilson to come to Chicago, I don't care whose job you're trying. Chicago has, they've never had a quarterback of that stature.
Mm-mm.
Never.
No, it's funny because obviously, yes, of course they're trying to save their jobs, and they know that if they get somebody like him, or even if, let's say, they still manage to get somebody like Deshaun Watson, that's going to give them job security that goes beyond next year.
Yes. I mean, I'm sorry. I think Khalil Mack is one of the – he's fun to watch. If he needs to go, he goes. I mean, come on. It's Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. It doesn't matter which one. I mean, defensive linemen, I get it. They're important. They're not as important as actually having a quarterback that you trust.
And again, I go back to what I said before on the show. This is why you wait things out and you don't settle for somebody like Carson Wentz, because now you're in a position to maybe get one of these two guys. That's an even bigger upgrade.
Oh, it's just blowing. It is just blowing my mind of you know, the fact that Seattle sends out their newsletter and you're like, you don't even, I mean, he's the only person on the team that people know, even in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may have other favorite, but he is, I mean, that's pretty big stuff for your GM and Pete Carroll to think that they are more important than their star quarterback.
And I also think that what that tells you is the GM sides of Carroll, and that normally you see it the other way around, where the GM is going to end up siding with the player and get rid of the coach.
75 years old. He's not coaching that much longer. It blows my mind. I do want to give kudos again. I think that Fran McCaffrey, getting back to Iowa.
Yep.
I don't think, I don't know who's going to, and maybe they've already voted on Coach of the Year. I don't know how you don't give him Coach of the Year. I don't care. Illinois. Is that who they're going to give it to? Is Illinois?
No, I was going to say Juwan Howard.
Oh.
But.
Yeah, it's still.
I mean, that's probably who's going to get it. But I mean, there's obviously a legit argument for Fran. And I'll just say this: if Luka isn't Big Ten Player of the Year or National Player of the Year, then something's really wrong.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect to Ayo Dosunmu. He's a great guard, and I would say he's the second best player, both in the conference, possibly in the country. But you saw that Illinois could still manage to win games without him. If Iowa didn't have Luka Garza.
They're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game, and the fans are gonna, you know, they're gonna figure that out next year. Iowa's gonna be a totally different team to watch, but I think they're gonna be an extremely fun team to watch. But not having that big man in the middle like that, and almost guaranteed points all the time, it is a big deal. But hey, thanks for jumping on today.
And absolutely,
we got enough stuff going to be going on. I'm going to have you come back on Friday too. So thanks, B, as always.
All right, absolutely. Talk to you again on Friday, Steve.
All right, B, thanks. B Styles, one of my first ones that I've had on, I just love my guests, and I love talking to them and getting to talk all the things that we thoroughly enjoy talking. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I'm going to come back. I got the last segment. I don't know where I'm going to head. I've already preached enough in my other open segment, so maybe I'll try to find a happy spot to go to. Some of you that know me, sometimes it's hard to find a happy spot with me. Welcome back. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the day outside today. I hope you've enjoyed the first part of the program. Hopefully you'll enjoy this last segment here on Thursday. This is Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I wrote a big sign now in front of me that says, hey, make sure I flip these two switches right here. to make sure that you can listen to this online, and I apologize to everybody that missed the first part of it. I will not let it happen again unless I can't see, because it's a really big sign. I want to thank B Styles, Cody Goodwin, Sean Bach, Kevin Lehman, all of them great. Got to talk some college hoops with Kevin, some Iowa stuff with Sean Bach, and their great weekend they had. Big Ten tournament coming up. B Styles, we did some All Star, we did some Iowa takes, and Cody Goodwin. If you love wrestling, and when I have Cody on, you better be listening, because he's that good, and man, does he bring it. So, want to give a shout out. It is International Women's Day today. I have a lot of very important women in my life, starting with my wife, Jennifer, my mother-in-law, Nana, Margie. I'm sorry. It's Nana's just that way. I have three beautiful sister-in-laws, Susie, Kathy, and Tracy. They help a ton. I have a group of friends that I can't name them all, but Sarah and Janet and Bridget, you mean the world to me. You know that. My grade school friend and day one friend, Dee Miller, is a huge part of my life. Love having her in my life, and enjoy when we get to talk, even though we're both busy. Send out some thank yous today, folks, especially you fellas out there. A lot of important people. A lot of important people in the sports world that are, you know, trying to lead the way. The fact that I have Tiff, she comes on with me, which is great. She is so good, better than me, and just makes our show tick. She comes on tomorrow, even though she's in Florida. She's coming on so we can talk. You know, I go through Twitter all the time. I've been kind of sending out feelers, trying to get more women to give opinions, because they're going to be different, and I want that. And, you know, my wife begs all the time to come on the show, but I mean, we fight and argue all the time, so I don't know how good that would be on the radio, but, just to hear some different things, a lot of firsts today out there. Mara Chaka is the first black woman official in the NFL. Jennifer King, the Washington football team, is the first full-time black women's assistant coach. Sarah Thomas was the first full-time women's official and first to appear in the Super Bowl. Katie Sowers was the first openly gay coach in the NFL. She's with the 49ers, and I think she's gone to a different team, and I'll look that up to see. Kaylee Bronson is the first woman to serve as a position coach for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, there's thousands of them, and you know, it's a special day, and we need to make sure that we give them all thanks and for everything that they do. So, happy International Women's Day! I love it. A big shout out today. Trey Baker might be the son of one of a very important person, Miss Angie Baker at Nat Properties. Her son, with the win today for Martinsdale St. Mary's, he had 20 points and 14 rebounds. Gets to play another day. That's good for her. She's pretty excited. Golf over the weekend, Bryson DeChambeau won. I don't know how everybody else feels. I'm a huge Bryson DeChambeau. It was fun to watch him play yesterday in a very tense situation and hit a big putt to win. Jordan Spieth with his third top five. That's my favorite golfer, and he's starting to come around. Really interesting today. Tom Brady wants Odell Beckham at Tampa Bay. I mean, I from the year that he had, I'm pretty sure that Tom Brady might get what he wants. So we'll see what happens there. B Styles mentioned this before, and my thoughts on Michigan winning the Big Ten. They haven't played Indiana. They haven't played Northwestern. They haven't played Purdue. It seems kind of strange, and it's COVID year, so you toss it, throw it away. It doesn't matter. NCAA moving forward with a 1-year transfer rule. So in 2021-2022, which is next season, you're going to have 1-year grace period for transferring without having to sit out. That'll be interesting. you know, we talked a little bit today. If I'm Ben Jacobson, I'm angry too. I'm angry with St. Louis. If I'm the Missouri Valley, I'm thinking really hard about not having my tournament in St. Louis for the mishap of the false positive and then a negative and then still not allowing. I think that is wrong. You know how I feel about Greg McDermott. I think he has the type of character that he deserves a second chance. Not my call, but from what I've seen so far, I think he deserves that. Greg Gard complaining about the refereeing in the Big Ten. Trust me, the last 3 minutes of the game were horrible. I don't think that it was horrible strictly against Wisconsin, so I don't feel him there. If Fran McCaffrey was doing that same thing, he would have just been tore up today in media, and I don't like that either. Greg Lansing getting a raw deal today, getting let go by Indiana State. This next probably 3 weeks are going to be horrible for coaches in the NCAA. You know what? It was COVID. The fact that a lot of these teams got all their games in, you know, even B-Style saying the fact that Drake got all their games in is just unheard of. And kudos. You heard my take on Steve Prohm. I've changed. I want to see what can happen. And I don't know if that's going to happen. Nobody was listening to me telling them what to do anyway. But with everything going on, I mean, Sean Miller, you know, he's Arizona's in trouble. They have so many things going against them right now. You know, and the NCAA is not any better at this stuff either, on how they bring down punishment and don't. It just gives me a headache even thinking about that. Trying to see where I wanted to go. When we were talking and B-Styles mentioned Carson Wentz, and everybody's been pretty hard on Carson Wentz. And then you hear today that Jeffrey Lurie, who owns the Philadelphia Eagles, is telling his coaching staff and his general manager that he wants Jalen Hurts to be the quarterback and he doesn't want to bring anybody else in for competition. Maybe if you're Carson Wentz, maybe you don't like the fact that your owner is making all the decisions for the football team. And maybe that's the reason that Dak Prescott isn't very happy with the Dallas Cowboys, who have not offered him yet. Seattle Seahawks sent out newsletter to season ticket holders today and had no picks or mentions of Russell Wilson. I'm like, come on. How petty are we in the world today that would happen? I thought this was very interesting, and only because of some of the fanfare. Jeff Bezos and his wife, he's the Amazon CEO, his ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott, she got remarried this weekend from the divorce with her husband. She is now, I think, the third or fourth richest woman in the world at $52 billion, married a high school teacher from where her kids are going to school. Congratulations to her. What a way. And this is what they are doing together. They're trying to figure out ways to spend all of her money, because she doesn't want all that money, but she also wants to do good things with the money and thought that she deserved it for being married. So be it. I'm all for it. And good deal for her. I really am upset about this whole Les Miles thing. And I even got more upset when people were saying, well, Kansas shouldn't have the right to fire him because they should have done their due diligence. I have a feeling that what happened at LSU with him, I don't know if that falls into the realm of due diligence. I don't know what they have to. I don't know what they have to say. The simple fact that what happened in LSU, if the reports are true, and I've seen people trying to explain them, but I haven't said anybody said they weren't true. If he was not allowed to be in close contact with females on the university, he should not be coaching sports in the NCAA. Period. End of story. Can't do it. Sorry, folks. It's not right. And I don't know what else to say. And I'm going to take the last 30 seconds of the show today and give kudos to Coach Darren DeVries. Not only did you have a COVID year and you had to go through all the protocols, you played a schedule that is so conducive to losing games because you're playing pretty much back-to-back games against the same competition, the same team. and you have to get all your players up for those games. If you have a blowout win in the first, it's so difficult in the second. The nice thing is if you do get blown out in the first game, you can play harder in the second game, and that makes it even more difficult that they only lost three games throughout the regular season. Two of them to Loyola, who is ranked in the top 25, so kudos to him. Have injuries to two of your best players, and still don't tell me they don't belong in the NCAA, because they do, and I don't want to hear anything else besides that, except for thank you for listening to the show today. Everybody have a great Monday evening. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. And the great thing is, I'll be back here same time, same channel tomorrow. Have a great night. Goodbye.